Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Svi ben Harav Yosef, and for Refuah Shleima to David Meir ben Mindel. Today's daf is Yuvamas, daf Samach Vav. We begin the second half of Yuvamas, and we begin the seventh parak of Yuvamas, parak Amana L'Kohen Gadol, the seventh parak. In order to understand today's daf, there is one fact that you need to know, one simple fact to understand today's daf, and that is the difference between two parts of the ksuba. Part number one is Nichse Malug and Nichse Tzon Barzel. And I'll tell you, I never understood these two concepts for a lot of years, and then I was just reading it last night, and the whole thing makes 100% exact sense to me. I think last night was probably the first night that I ever understood this actually really well. So I'll tell it to you, and I hope you should be able to understand it. Good morning, Avi, Dr. Joe, Harav Eliezer Dov, Tzvika, David Yoshua, Gershon Eitan, Yishai Yitzhak, Ruben from Harrisburg. That looks like Tani from Efrat. Tani, great to see you. Chanach Chanach. And Yitzhak Yosef. Here we go. So the introduction for today is very simple. When a woman gets married to a man, they write a ksuba. There's a document of the ksuba. The ksuba has a bunch of things in it. Nobody in the world knows what the ksuba, what's written in the ksuba. Nobody. Maybe there's, I can count on one hand, anybody who really understands it. What the husband is obligating himself, which is pretty funny because the husband actually has to obligate himself and he has no idea what he's obligating himself in. Anyway, two of the things that in times of the Gemara they used to write into the ksuba are Nichse Malug and Nichse Tzon Barzel. What's the difference between Nichse Malug and Nichse Tzon Barzel? It's really very simple. Nichse Malug is anything that the girl will still own throughout the marriage, but the husband gets to use. The girl owns it, the husband gets to use it. It could be a field, the husband gets to eat the fruit. It could be a slave, the husband gets to use him. It could be anything, anything that the girl owns and the husband gets to use. That's called the girl owns the guf and the husband gets the peros. That's it, Nichse Malug, very simple. What's Nichse Tzon Barzel? Nichse Tzon Barzel is anything, it could be sheep, right? Sheep, the girl owns it, but the husband gets the shearings or the babies, whatever it is. The girl owns the guf and the husband owns the peros. That's Nichse Malug. And Malug comes from the word to cut off. The husband could chop off the fruit. He could chop off the shearings. What's Nichse Tzon Barzel? Nichse Tzon Barzel is other stuff that they decide, she decides, I'm bringing into the marriage. The husband owns it. He owns it lock, stock, and barrel. If it goes up, it goes up in price. He makes the money. If it goes down, he loses it. The husband has the responsibility for it. He owns it. If he dies or divorces her, he writes into the ksuba, he will pay the value of this stuff to her. The value goes to her after he dies or divorces her. He'll pay it back to her in the ksuba after the marriage. That's Nichse Tzon Barzel. The key point for today's daf is Nichse Malug. She owns, Nichse Tzon Barzel, he owns. That's the whole story. That's it. I don't know why it took me 10 years to figure that out, but it's really pretty simple. Okay, that's Nichse Malug and Nichse Tzon Barzel. So now with that background, we can jump into the mission. Says the Mishnah, Almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyo. We know that an almana is not allowed to marry a kohen gadol, a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen hedyo. But let's say they went ahead and did it. Almana marries a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyo. Hichnisa lo avnei malug, if she brought him to this marriage. Now this marriage, it's weird because it's chayvei lavin, so the kedushin are tofsin, the marriage works, but they're not allowed to stay married. They don't have relations together because they're not allowed to marry each other. But it's chayv elavin, so the marriage works, but they have to get divorced. So we'll learn at the end of today's daf, is the fact that they have to get divorced, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? We'll talk about that. So what about if she brought into this marriage nichse malug? The question is, did they eat truma? Va'avdei tzon barzel. Or she brings into the marriage slaves that are tzon barzel. So in this case, since this marriage is not a legit marriage, avdei malug lo yochlu b'truma. So the nichse malug that are owned by her, she can't eat truma in this marriage, even though it's a good marriage, they're not allowed to stay married. She becomes a chalala in this marriage. She's not allowed to marry a kohen after this. So she becomes a chalala. She can't eat truma, even though she's married to a kohen. Usually somebody married to a kohen is allowed to eat truma, but this marriage is not allowed to stay a marriage. And therefore, she's a chalala. She can't eat truma. So if the slaves are owned by her, namely they're going to say malug, which we said before, she owns, since she owns him, and she can't eat truma, so they can't eat truma. But avdei tzon barzel, since the tzon barzel that she brings into the marriage is owned by him for the duration of the marriage, and he can eat truma, so since he can eat truma, and the slaves belong to him, so the avadim can eat truma. Avdei tzon barzel yochelu, and this is today's whole daf, is all about this point. Ve'elohein avdei malug, what's an example of avdei malug? Im mesu mesu la. If they die, since she owns the avdei malug, she takes the loss. Im hosiru, if they go up in value during the time of the marriage, hosiru la. She gets them at the end. Va'afal pishuhu chayv b'mizonosan, even though he has to feed them, because since he gets the benefit from using them during the marriage, he's the one who has to feed them. Nevertheless, hare elu lo yochlu b'truma. Nevertheless, since they're malug, she owns them, even though he feeds them. She owns them, so therefore they can't eat truma. Ve'elohein avdei tzon barzel, im mesu mesu lo. Avdei tzon barzel, who really owns during the course of the marriage? He owns them. So if they die in the course of the marriage, he loses. He has to replace them. Right? He's got to replace them. When he dies, divorces, he's going to have to replace them in the marriage. That's what it means. If they die, he gets the loss. Vimo siru siru lo. If they go up in value, he gets the profit. He only has to pay her back at the end of the marriage the value that they were worth at the time of the marriage. If they go up in value, he gets the profit. If he sells them, he gets the profit and just pays her back the value that these slaves were worth at the time of the original marriage. Since he's the one who's responsible for them, so during the time in the course of the marriage, they are permitted to eat truma. Bas Yisrael shenisis l'kohen. And similarly, if you have a Yisraelis married to a kohen, so we know that a Bas Yisrael, again, if she has nisun with the kohen, she eats truma. V'hichnisa lo avadim. So if she brings slaves into the marriage, bein avdei malug, who are hers, bein avdei tzon barzel, they're his, both of them, hare el yochlu b'tshuma. Because she's eating tshuma, so her slaves eat tshuma. So it doesn't matter whether it's his or hers, whether it's malug or tzon barzel, either way, those slaves are going to eat tshuma. Bas kohen shenisis liyisrael. Once a bas kohen gets married to Yisrael, so she no longer eats tshuma. V'hichnisa lo avadim, bein avdei malug, bein avdei tzon barzel. And he's a Yisrael, so they don't eat truma. So whether they're hers or his, either way, since he's a bas kohen, again, if she has slaves before she's married, they'll eat truma because they're her slaves. But once she gets married, she no longer eats truma, so her slaves no longer eat truma. And certainly, whether they're even tzon barzel, they belong to him, they also don't eat truma. Let's see the Gemara. Quick question.
Who decides if it's not
said? Great question. I think she decides. They're hers beforehand, so she can decide how she wants to deal with them during the marriage.
She can either say,
I don't want to deal with them. They're yours. I want to own the carrot and you just eat the peros. Or I want to make them, I think it's up to her. It's a great question. I was wondering about the same thing myself.
I think also when I learned the Kedushin that I think he can say, I don't want responsibility for these.
We're going to talk about that.
He's allowed to say, no, I don't want, because he knows right. He's going to go down in value, he's going to lose money.
Right, he's going to lose money. He could say, I don't want them. Yeah, that's true. He could say, I don't want them. Very good. Excellent. Great question. Let's see the Gemara. Zakta Helge Gemara. Avde Malug lo yochlu b'tshuma amai. So the Avde Malug, the Mishnah said, Amana married to a Kohen Gadol, or Grusha b'chalutza married to a Kohen Hedjot. Avdei malug lo yochlo b'tshuma amai. Why is that true? Lehevei kikinyano shekana kinyan. Why don't we say that the avdei malug are like something he's buying since he's using them? Just like the woman is acquired by the kohen, So why don't we consider the avadim like a choir? Disanya. We learned in a brisa. Minayin l'koin shenasa isha v'kana avadim. How do we know that a man who marries a woman or the man buys slaves? Shiyochlu b'tshuma. Again, the Gemara is going to give the obvious answer. The Gemara is going to give an obvious answer.
$20.
Hold on 1 second. Okay. We're going to mute that. Hold on a minute. Whoa. Dubsy, I don't know what's going on there. If you could just mute yourself. Something happened. You got unmuted there, I think. David Yoshua. Mute yourself. Okay. Minayin le'isha shkayef. Minayin decide. You went to Nebraisa. Minayin le'koin shenasa isha v'kana avadim. Or a coin either marries a woman or he buys slaves. A Kohen who purchases a nefesh, kinyan kasbo, they can eat. Which means if a Kohen either gets married or he buys a female slave or a male slave, they can eat shuma. Uminayin le'isha shekan sa'avadim. And how do we know that a Bas Yisrael who's married to a Kohen shekan sa'avadim ve ve'avadav shekanu avadim, or if the slaves purchase slaves, sheyochlu b'tshuma, so they can eat tshuma. Shneimar v'kohen kinyan k'nefesh kinyan kasbo hu yochal bo. So you see that kinyan kasbo can eat tshuma. Why? Kinyano shekana kinyan ochel. If something that the kohen owns acquires something, eats. So the Gemara answer is the obvious answer. No. Kol ha'ochel machil. Yeah, it's true. If a Kohen's married to a girl and the girl buys avadim, then the avadim will eat because the girl herself is eating. In this case, since the married girl is committing an aveira, she's becoming a halala, so she doesn't eat. So if she don't eat, then what she buys can't eat. And milug is owned by her, says the Gemara. Kol ha'ochel machil. No, in the case before, if a Kohen's married to a girl and it's a legit marriage and she owns slaves, so then they'll eat because she's eating. But if the thing that the Kohen is purchasing is itself not eating, well then the thing that the Kohen purchased, it also doesn't eat. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, is that true? Anyone who eats, then the thing that they purchased can eat. Anything that's machil is ochel, and anything that's ochel is machil. Kol she'ein ochel eino machil. Says the Gemara. V'lo, is that true that we can't find a case that someone who themselves can't eat can never be machil? Someone who themselves can't eat, so then they cannot also be machil others. They can't cause others to eat. So the Gemara creates an interesting situation. V'harei orel v'chol hatmeim. What about a Kohen who's an orel? A Kohen who doesn't have a bris mila, let's say, because his brothers died because of bris mila. So he's an orel. So he doesn't have a bris mila. V'harei orel v'chol hatmeim. What about a Kohen who's tamei? She'ein on ochlin. An orel can't eat shuma. And a Kohen who's tamei can't eat shuma. Umachilin, yet that Kohen who's married to a Yisrael, a Bas Yisrael, she eats Chuma. Says the Gemara, come on, that's not a good comparison. Says the Gemara, Hasam Pumayu Koivluhu. It's like a Kohen who has a sore in his mouth who can't eat because he's got a sore in his mouth. When the sore heals, he's going to be able to eat. So it's over here in RL, so maybe now he doesn't have a bris mila, but maybe he could get a bris mila. Or if he's tameh, he can become tahar. So that's not a good proof. The reason why that guy can't eat, it's just a temporary thing. It's not a real, it's not permanent. Ask the Gemara, everyone's getting nervous. We see a chart. Don't worry. It's not so complicated. It's a little complicated. No, it's not very complicated. Believe me, compared to what we had before, it's not common. Says Gemara. Vahare mamzer. She'eino ochel umachil. But I'll construct you a case. A mamzer doesn't eat truma, yet he can cause somebody else to eat truma. What in the world is this talking about? So let's draw up the case. This is a case that's going to be in 3 blot from now. 3 days from now. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in three blot from now. What does it say in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says like this. Mishnah says like this. We have the following case. A Bas Yisrael is married to a Kohen. Bas Yisrael married to a male Kohen. And they have a daughter. And the daughter marries a Mamzer. And they have a son. So now the original Kohen has a grandson who's a Mamzer. Because when a girl marries a Mamzer man, the son is a Mamzer. That's the halacha. If a kosher girl marries a man who's a Mamzer, the child has the status of a Mamzer. The Vlad Holich Achar HaPogam. It's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Kiddushin. So now the kid's a Mamzer. Let's say the Kohen dies. Right, Grandpa Kohen dies. And the daughter, who's also the mother of the Mamzer, she also dies. So the only offspring from this original union of the Kohen and the woman, so now you have a Yisraelis woman, she still eats truma because they have because she has a grandson who's a Mamzer. Now, the grandson himself doesn't eat truma. So, She ain ochel. The Mamzer himself doesn't eat truma, but he's a Zar, right? The Mamzer himself doesn't eat truma. But umachil. But the existence of the grandson as a Mamzer causes the grandmother to eat truma. Because kol zman that the grandma has some offspring who's alive, so the offspring is machil her b'truma. She has some offspring from the union of the Kohen. But the grandson himself does not eat truma. So it says, Gemara, she'ein ochel u'machil. So we found a case of someone who he himself doesn't eat truma, but he causes his grandmother to eat truma. Wow. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avina. Come on, that's also not a proof. When we said that only someone who eats can cause other to me, that means when the relationship is one of kinyan. Says Gemara, Amar Avina. Kinyan ochel ka'amar. Anyone who eats because he's a kinyan, so kinyan ochel machil. Right? The girl who owns a slave. So if the only way the slave eats is because of ownership, so only if the owner eats, can the thing being owned eat. Kinyin ochel machil, but she ain't ochel, ain't a machil. But here, the reason why this grandson is making the grandmother eat is not because the grandson owns the grandmother. No, it's because of the relationship. So there, yeah, you're right. I can construct a relationship where the thing that causes, even though he himself can't eat, but he can cause somebody else to eat because he's offspring. He's a child who's still alive. But it's not because he owns the grandmother. Okay, that's one answer. So Rava disagrees with Ravina. The Rava Amar, Mido Raisa, Mechel Achle. Rava says, Mido Raisa, the Avde Malug of a guy married to a Kohen, Mechel Achle. Even though the woman herself does not eat, Mido Raisa, right? In the case of Amana L'Kohen Gadol, the Gusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyo. So even though the woman herself can't eat, Mido Raisa, the slave really is allowed to eat. Avdi Maluk, wow. Against what we've been saying till this point. Why does the Mishnah say that Avdi Maluk can't eat? V'Rabbanan Hu D'Gazri B'Hu. It's only in Isser D'Rabbanan that since she's married to a Kohen B'Isser, she's not allowed to eat. Why? The slaves are not allowed to eat. Why? Right. Midrabanan, the slaves, why? Kidei shetomar, so that the girl should say to herself, Ani eini ocheles. I can't eat truma. Avadai einan ochle. My slaves can't eat truma. Now, why is this? Zona he had slow. Must be because I'm not allowed to stay married and I got to get divorced from him. Hilkach asi lafuka. So the Gemara says, really mean doraisa? Avde Malug really should eat, Ravina holds. Ravina holds, Avde Malug really should eat, but it's only a din de Rabbanan they don't eat to cause her to realize that she shouldn't be in this marriage and she should get out of this marriage. She has to get out of it. That's the second answer. Rav Ashi also agrees, like Rava, that it's a Gzera de Rabbanan, but it's a different reason for the Gzera. Rav Ashi Omer, why the rabbis decree that Avde Malug of hers cannot eat Shuma? Really, Midoraisa, they should eat. But midrabanan, they can't. Why? Gezeira shema tachil achar misa. We're afraid maybe the woman will feed them truma even after the kohen dies. Says the Gemara, what? Elameata. Bas Yisrael shmisis l'kohen, a regular case, lo sachil, gezeira shema tachil achar misa. Why are you worried about the same thing? Maybe after her husband dies, she's going to feed the avadim truma. Says Gemara, okay, you're right. That's not a good reason. The Gemara backs out on that. Ravashi backs out. Elam Ravashi, no. Ba'almana kohenes da'asya la'oruye meikara sa'achle b'tshuma de'bei nasha. No, we're talking about the following case. The gzeir is, they're afraid an almana who's a kohenes. What does that mean? An almana married to a kohen gadol, but she herself was brought up, she's a bas kohen. So you have an almana who's a bas kohen married to a kohen gadol. Almana bas kohen married to a gadol. So we're afraid that since she was used to eating when she was a kid, right, so she used to eat. Now we're afraid she's not allowed to feed her avdei malot because we're afraid after he divorces her, now she's a chalala, she can no longer feed her avadim chuma anymore after he, if he dies, the kohen gadol dies or divorces her. Even though she used to eat, so she's going to think, oh, just like when I was a kid, I was allowed to eat and I could feed, but now she's a chalala. So she loses her ability to eat truma, even as a bas kohen. So we're afraid she'll come to do that. To asila oruye, she's going to come to be more heter to herself, meikara, because just like she used to eat, meikara, so achle b'truma de beinashia. Originally, she used to eat truma when she was a young girl. Insibile lahai, I married this guy. Achle b'truma de gavroi, I was allowed to eat truma by him. So vahasa hajri li l'masa kamaisa. Now I'm going to be able to go back to my original situation and eat truma. V'lo yada, she's not going to realize. D'meikara lo shavit l'nafshi chalala. Originally she wasn't a chalal. But hashta shavit l'nafshi chalala. Ask the Gemara. Tenach almana kohenes. Almana bas Yisrael ma'ikala memra. So what about a regular almana who's not a kohenes? How come you don't even let him eat the ekseh malug? Says the Gemara. Her avadim eat the ekseh malug. Says the Gemara. The rabbis didn't make distinctions between different almanas, says the Gemara. Now, itmar hamachneses shum lebala. This means that she brings in like a nichsei tzon barza, a woman who evaluated the property at the time of the nisuin, brings it into the marriage, and it's nichsei tzon barza. So when he dies or divorces her, he's gonna have to pay her the value. And let's say they had certain vessels, and now he divorces her. And here's the story. He omeres, Kalei Nina tells. She says, I want the actual Kalim. Who omer, Damamani nosi. No, I'm not obligated to give you the actual Kalim. I'm going to give you the value of what the Kalim will work at the time of the marriage. Hadin in me. Who wins this argument? She wants the actual sheep. And I'll pay you the difference, or you'll pay me the difference. He says, no, I don't owe you the sheep. I just committed in the ksuba to give you the value of the sheep at the time of the marriage. Who gets the action? Who wins this argument? Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Amar Hadin Ima. Rav Yehuda says, she gets the sheep. Rabbi Ami Amar Hadin Ima. No, he could just pay her off with money. He can keep the sheep if he wants them. Rav Yehuda Amar Hadin Ima. Yishum Shevach Beis Avia. You know why she gets the sheep? Because we want her to be able to get married again. And if she has chash of a sheep, people will want to marry her. So, Dida Havi. So the rabbis instituted, she gets to keep them if she wants them. Tosas Chad Mikamai writes that if the woman wants, what about the other way around? Let's say she wants the money and he wants the sheep. So, when we say Hadin Ima, does that mean she would win even if she wants the money? So Tosfos Chacham Kamai writes, if the woman wants the money and not the possessions, and the husband wants to give her the possession, no, he has to give her the money. Because Me'ikar Hadin, he has to give her money. It's only because of this takana of she should look good in the eyes of her new husband, that if she wants the sheep, she could take the sheep. But if she prefers the money, then he has to pay her the money. And other Rishonim disagree.
What kind of problem?
Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be fancy. It could be jewelry. No, it was set up as Nechsei Tzon Barzel. But that's the question. Can she demand the jewelry? Or can he say, no, I'm just giving you money. I want to keep the jewelry.
Ah. It's the value at the time of the...
Of the marriage. It's the value at the time of the marriage. We don't know. Went up in price, down in price, either way.
So isn't a question of just two different values. If I take the sheep, I'm getting the value today. If I take the money, I'm taking the value that it was back then.
No, because even if he takes the sheep, they'll have to compensate for the difference in value. So, Rabbi Yehuda Dinima Mishum Shalavi Savia. Didahav. Rabbi Ami Omar Hadinimo. Rabbi Ami says, no. He can, if he can keep the Kalim if he wants and just pay her off the money. Kevin Amar Mar, since we learned in the Mishnah. Im Mesu Mesu Lo, Imo Siro Siro Lo, since he has responsibility and he loses, he stands to lose and he stands to gain. See, he's the owner. Ho of Achai Bachra Yusan, since he's responsible, during the marriage he was the owner and he was responsible for them. So, Yochelu, they could eat Truma. So just like the Nechsei Tzon Barzel and the Mishnah, they eat Truma because he's responsible for them. So he's considered to be the owner, and therefore, he can say, I want to keep them. Says the Gemara. What kind of proof is that? So, they said, Amar of Safra, Mikatani Vehin Shalo. The Mishnah doesn't say he owns them. It says, Ho v'chayev b'achor yusim katani. He's responsible for them. Ulolam lavdi dehu, ninu. But they're not actually his. Says Gemara, v'chol hecha d'chayev b'achor yusim achli b'truma? Really? The Gemara is going to try to defend Rav Ami's Rai by saying that no, it's not just that he's responsible for them, he's actually an owner, because I'll show you somewhere else where someone's responsible for something and yet he doesn't eat truma. So it can't just be the responsibility that's causing him to eat truma. A defense for Rav Ami. Says Gemara, v'chol hecha d'chai b'achiyus nachli b'truma? Really, every case where someone's responsible for something, he eats truma? V'hatzanabba we learned in trumas, Yisrael shesachar par mikoin. A Yisrael that rents a cow from a kohen. So we need to know a little bit about shomrim here. Hareze yachilena kashin yachuma. Wow. So Yisrael that rents a cow from a kohen, even though the Yisrael's renting it, so he's chayv and he's responsible for it, but since the cow is owned by the kohen, he could feed it truma. Wow. Yisrael shesachar par mikoin. Hareze yachilena kashin yachuma. Kohen shesachar, and by contrast, kohen shesachar par Yisrael, avam yishim mazonos love. Even though the Kohen's responsible to feed it, lo yachlenek hashini shuma, because it's owned by the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the ownership of a renter with the ownership of an owner, of a marriage. The Tizbra, nehi nami demechayev b'gneva v'aveda. We know that a socher has a certain level of responsibility, that he's chayev in gneva v'aveda. A socher, or a renter, is chayev, right? A shomer sachar, and a socher, that's the middle level of responsibility. He's chayv if the thing gets lost or stolen. But he's not chayv in onsin, says the Gemara. Right? Only a shoel is chayv in onsin, if we remember our Bava Metzia. Rabbi, right? So you got to know a little Bava Metzia for this. Nehina, we didn't chayv b'gneva v'aveda. Be'onseha, be'kachsha, or if it gets weaker. U'benifchas tameh, if it loses in value. Mi mechayv, he's not chayv for that. So it's not the same level of responsibility. Hallo, Damya El Seifa. Our case of marriage, by the Avdei Tzon Barzel, is not comparable to that case. It's comparable to the Seifa of that Mishnah. Yisrael Shasham Parmi Kohen. Oh, Yisrael, who accepts upon himself the full responsibility. Right? He rents a cow from the Kohen. But they evaluate how much it's worth, and he accepts upon himself all responsibility. If it's worth less than value or it goes up in value, he takes the wool off, so he takes the gain. So then, lo yachilana kashin yishuma. So then the Yisrael has full ownership. So then he can feed it kashin yishuma. Aval kohen shampar Yisrael yachilana kashin yishuma. So therefore, don't try to defend Rav Ami from this case, because it's not compatible. Says the Gemara, Now we're going to quote a braisa in support of Rav Yehuda and a braisa in support of Rav Ami. Again, the question here on the floor is, who is really the owner by Nichsei Tzon Barzal? Who's really the owner? Ah. Says the Gemara, Yosef, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Bashili, Pirkei Rav Nachman. Rabbi Rav Yosef were hanging around after Shir. When Rav Nachman finished his Rosh, the Asif Akami, they sat and said, Tani Kavasi the Rabbi Yehuda, but Tani Kavasi the Rabbi Ami. We have a Bryce in support of Rabbi Yehuda and a Bryce in support of Rabbi Ami. The Raya is from the case of, and we know there's a halacha that an Eved Kanani is Yotzei Bishain Va'ayin, which means if the master knocks out his eye or knocks out his tooth, he goes free. So the question here is, who's the master? Tani Kavasi the Rabbi Ami. Avdei Tzon Barzel, if a woman brings into a marriage, Nichsei Tzon Barzel, Yotzin B'Shein V'Ayin, Le'ish, only if the husband knocks out his Shein V'Ayin, Avalo Le'isha, ah, so you see, the husband is the owner of Tzon Barzel, Tani Kavas, and therefore the husband can say, if I want to keep them, he can keep them. Tani Kavas, Rav Yehuda, we learned the Bryce in support of Rabbi Yehuda. Hamachnesis shum labala. Shum just means an evaluation. That's another word for tzon barzal. Because they evaluate the value and he has to give her the value at the end. Tanakh was Rabbi Yehuda. Hamachnesis shum labala. A girl who brings property of tzon barzal and they evaluate its worth. Imratza habal limkar lo yimkar. If the husband wants to sell them, he cannot sell them. Because if he divorces her, she gets him. Ah, b'lo'od, elafiyuch nisallah shum mishalo. Even if he evaluates something, let's say he designates a field to pay for the tzon barzel, imratza ba'al limkar, lo yimkar. If he wants to sell the field, he can't sell it. Machu shnehem, if what machu shnehem? If either of them, either the Baal or the Isha, without the knowledge of the other, leparnasa for food, zeh hayamaisa lefnerishim gamliel v'amar habal motzim yad alakuchos. Either of them can negate the sale because it belongs to both of them. So the Braisa says the husband can't just sell them, and this is a proof to Rav Yehuda that he doesn't really own them. Rather, the woman owns them, even Tzon Barzel. And therefore, if he dies or divorces her, the woman can say, I want the stuff. How do we paskin? Amar Rav Menachem, halacha k'Rav Yehuda. She can keep the stuff. Amar li Rav Menachem, v'atani kavasi de Rav Yami. But didn't we learn a braisa from Rav Yami? Said Rav Menachem, afagav tani kavasi de Rav Yami, mistavra tam de Rav Yehuda shevach pei saviyah. The svara makes sense that she should, we want her to have the avodim, to have the sheet, that she should be able to get remarried. She should look good, and she should be able to get remarried. Close with a story. Hahi isasa da'ayla le'lagavra, istla de'milsa. A certain woman brought into the marriage a fancy talis made of clean wool. Biksubasa. It was Nichsei Tzon Barzel. Vishachiv, the husband died. Shaklu yasme. Upirsua amisna. Listen to the shtick that they did. So the orphans took this garment and they used it as the burial shroud to bury the dead father. Once it's used as a burial shroud, so it's Aser Bahana. But she wants it. They want to bury him in it, and the mom says she wants it. Amarava kanya misna. Rava says, sorry, the mace gets it. It's Asurbano, the mace gets it. Amale nanai bereid Rav Yosef, bereid Rava l'Rav Kahana. I've Amarava Rav Nachman halach k'Rav Yehuda. Didn't we say halach k'Rav Yehuda that if he wants it, he gets it? Says the Gemara, this is an exception. Amale milo moda Rav Yehuda, de mechusa govaina. But listen, right? He didn't collect it. Kevin de Mechusa Govaina, since Birshusei Kai, It stayed in the Rishus of the Yisoma. Says Gemara, Rav Latame. In this statement, Rav is going according to his own reasoning. Dam Rav Hekdesh, Chametz V'Shecher, Mafkir Midei Shibud. Even though he owes it to her, but since he put it on the mace, it's like he made it Hekdesh. It's also Bahana. So it's Mafkia, the Shiba, that he really had an obligation to give it back to her. By the Yisomim putting it on the dead person, the Yisomim owed it to her, but the Hekdesh is Mafkia, the Shibud. So they were able to make it Aser Bahana. They do have to pay her the money for it, but she can't demand it. Let's try to just get to the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hechnisalo Shnei Kalim Be'elav Zuz. Avi, this is your example. She brings into the marriage, Nechsei Tzon Barzel, two Kalim that were worth a total of 1,000. V'shimchu v'abdu al Shnei Alafim. And now during the marriage, they're now worth double. Now he only owes her, Avi, the 1,000. So what do they do? V'shimchu v'abdu al Shnei Alafim. So Echad no Tlaso B'Ksubasa. So she takes one of them as the payment to the Ksuba. V'echad, if she wants it, she has to pay for the other one. V'echad no senes damiv v'not lasso. She has to pay for it, but she can take it. Mipnei shevach beisavia. Well, we said she's allowed to have the kalim, but she's got to pay for the second one because the value-wise, she's only allowed the value of that they were at the time of the marriage. Ask him, my kamashlan shevach beisavia. Did they have it? Hamar of yudachadizim. They already said it once. Ma'od the same hani milihecha de matyo lemishkal b'ksubasa. You might think she's only allowed to take it when she's taking it as a ksuba payment. I will make mishka lo, but she can't pay for the other one. Kamash malan, she's even allowed to pay for the other one if she wants it. Gaval the kedaf today. Gaval the kedaf.
So the term,
let me explain. Have a great day, Tani. Great to have you aboard live. What, do you have a day off today, Tani? What happened?
Yeah, no.
All right. We should have more of them.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
Come in and have a wonderful.
So, Dr. Joe, Shum, it's just another way of saying Tzon Basel.